If I'm hard on you, it's because the world is hard. You've seen that. And I just need you to stay out of trouble, okay?
Oh my God.
Brother just got out of prison.
I know I've been away for a long time, but I want to make sure that you know that you're important to me.
I want you to be careful around him.
Welcome home, my man.
I know I owe you guys some money. I just wanted you to know I'm not dodging you.
Oh.
Let him go.
The hell is that thing?
Hello, Jonathan and Josh, how are you?
Hey, mate, how are you? We're good. We've been on the phone for an hour and 45 minutes and 11 seconds. So what we want to ask from you is let's make this fun and let's ask some questions that no one else would have asked before, at least one. So, yeah, go for it, man. We're here for you.
God, you're testing me, aren't you?
Yes, trying.
Okay, well, let's start off with one that I don't know whether you would have been asked it yet, but knowing my luck, you probably have. All about James Franco, and it's got nothing to do with everything
right,
that's been going on with him, but I know that he goes kind of method when he shoots. What was he like with this character?
Yeah.
Because this character's pretty full on.
Yeah, it is. This is Jonathan, by the way.
John.
It's a dark character, and you know, partnered with that darkness is always a little bit of light, and we wanted to have this charisma in the character of Taylor that makes him it very hard to know for an audience whether they should laugh or sort of shake in their boots. And watching audiences view this film, it is actually a very bizarre feeling when he's on screen because he is ultra charming, but he's also terrifying in many ways, and there are multiple scenes that he's in, whether it's the funeral or whether it's taking a piss in the gas station, and you see sort of half the audience giggling and half the audience kind of freaking out a little bit, and it's a really interesting tone that he's managed to get across on screen.
This is Josh. I feel like he rocked up on set knowing he's playing a bad guy, knowing he didn't want to associate with the other actors, specifically Jack and Miles. And so we were talking to Miles yesterday, and he was like, I didn't really get to have much of a conversation with Jane Franco. And we were like, yeah, no shit, dude, because he's playing the bad guy, and he's like, he's straight method. And so, frankly, he wanted to not make any friends on set, and I think it played really well.
Yeah, that's one thing that always spins me out about Franco is that I've interviewed people in the past that have worked with him. I interviewed like the makeup artist who worked on Oz the Great and Powerful.
Okay.
He sort of said a similar thing, like he came on set like all bubbly and stuff, but then he was trying to be mysterious, etc. So it was, it's always interesting to ask the Franco question to see what he was actually like. So no, that's.
For sure. Dude, the one thing I will say about Jeff, a director's delight, is that this guy takes his chair that most people, you know, don't even sit in as an actor, and he pulls it onto somewhere on set in a corner somewhere, and he takes out a book, and he was on set for 10 days and he read 4 books in that time. This guy is always absorbing information, and he doesn't want to go back to his trailer and then have you wrangle him for an hour back onto set, which wastes everybody's time. So he's incredibly professional. He's super efficient. He is prepared. And when you say, okay, I think we know what we want to shoot, you just go, all right, camera up. James, we're ready for you. And he gets up off his chair and he does the scene and then he sits back down. And I've never seen that with another actor. So, you know, that's all a director can ask for.
Nah, for sure. And I'll just start off from saying I really enjoyed the film. It was like really fresh and I felt like it was original. And it's always nice because there's only been like maybe 3 films that come to mind in the last 12 months where I've gone, shit, this is cool. And that was like Upgrade, which came out.
Wow. I mean, firstly, that's a major compliment, man. I mean, thank you. Making something truly unique was definitely at the top of our minds and is really, really hard to do in 2018 where audiences are just super cynical about everything. You know, something's either really fucking good or it's shit. And,
yeah.
You know, finding material that connects with people that isn't based on a Harry Potter book or a redo of an 80s movie or this or that or a comic book or a gigantic blockbuster is a real challenge.
Yeah, exactly right. Like, I don't mind them rebooting the odd movie now and then, but, like, it's just getting to the point where there's literally going to be no movies left to reboot. And when I hear the word, we're going to reboot the Goonies, I'm going to go on a spree.
It's I will be with you. Yeah, so
give us a call and we'll go on it with you.
The story was originally adapted from your short film, which is. How did the opportunity come about to expand on the story?
Well, it was really us looking at the short as it was being finished and saying, you know what, people are probably going to ask what the longer version is and we probably should have an answer. It was really that simple. We didn't make the short to get a movie. It was more about just doing something on the side, something personal, something that we liked doing that was different to the advertising that we were doing at the same time. And then we realized, you know what, this is shaping up pretty good. I think people are probably going to wonder what the longer feature version of this would be. Maybe we should sit down and have that conversation now rather than cramming it all into 2 days when they ask. This is Jonathan. We had been represented by our agents for a while at that point and offered many different sort of scripts to look at directing. And we'd turned them all down for different reasons, mainly because it wasn't something that felt very personal to us. Mm. And so, you know, when we had the opportunity to put Bagman out there into the on the Vimeo sort of community and a couple film festivals, South by Southwest and stuff like that, a lot of people really responded to it, and it just felt like, why miss this opportunity? This one might be the one. And so, yeah, we ended up conceptualizing and evolving the tones and the elements of what Bagman sort of was and fleshing it out into a longer narrative that was based around family and about brothers. And
really finding where the meat was. Like, I think it was about diving in and saying what themes and what characters are really interesting to us. And that's how we ended up with this weird, you know, unconventional family structure amongst a trio on the road, as well as, you know, some of the themes that are running through this thing.
You've also pulled, like, obviously your producing team was also incredible on this. Sean Levy, like, he's just got ticks after ticks with everything he seems to be doing. What was it like working with him?
This is Jonathan. Yeah, Sean's like one of our big brothers, man. He's such a great energy to have in the room. He's really excitable about anything he's doing, and sort of he brings that energy to a project.
It's only what I can imagine would be like the director version of Tom Cruise being in the room. He's so energetic, and it's wonderful to have backing you up, because when you brainstorm an idea or you try to get some advice, it always comes out feeling like, thanks, coach.
Yeah, totally. And if you have that level of energy and experience and respect within the industry, and you've got that within one person on your sort of team backing you up, that's super contagious for starters, and it opens doors. And
he was kind of our back pocket phone call as well. So, like, yeah, if you really need something done, you can kind of say, Sean, can you put in a call? And a call from Sean Levy will usually get it over the line.
Yeah, for sure. Now, obviously, let's talk a bit about your cast. Miles was incredible as Eli. How hard was it to find the right Eli?
I mean, it wasn't easy, man. There was a quote from Sean Levy the other day that I saw that was like, if we didn't find the right kid, we probably would have, like, canned the movie. And in a way, like, he's absolutely right. It all depended. We all knew it depended on this kid. And so we looked at about 250, 300 kids from all over the States, out of Toronto,
Some were self-tapes, some were auditions, and we had a whole range of kids. I mean, we were basically looking for insular, quiet, mature kids that could kind of deliver on emotion more than they could sing and dance on camera, and that was really hard to find.
And the character of Eli is all about his eyes and observing through his eyes. And so, you know, he having that quiet sensibility is really something that we were after. And Miles had the emotional maturity to do that and the confidence to do that. And in an audition setting with commercial kids, I mean, they want to impress a director and they really want to give it their all and go over the top with it. And it was refreshing to see someone just sort of show some subtlety.
There was something about Miles where he could just stand there and engage you with his eyes. And frankly, that's exactly what we were after. Since half the movie, he'd be very quiet.
On the other hand, you've also got Dennis Quaid, who is literally one of my favorite actors ever. You don't see him in heaps of stuff anymore, which is just tragic. But what was his presence like on set and working with him?
Yeah, well, two things. I feel like there's a duality on this entire movie that goes from start to finish. And one duality when it comes to Dennis is that he's playing a very hardened man who's lost his wife and is trying to figure out how to relate to his two sons. And it's probably a pretty dark character compared to most of the ones that Dennis usually gets to play. And he admitted that to us at the beginning, that that's what was interesting about this for him. But then you've got Dennis Quaid, who is like, you go out to dinner with him or you have him on set and he jokes around like a crazy man. He's so funny. He kind of walks onto set and he knows he's Dennis Quaid, but he kind of plays with that now. So like he signs things, "The Dennis Quaid" and shit like that. He's hilarious.
I kind of expect him to walk on a set and go, "Dennis Quaid is here."
Well, I mean, you know, we said that on the first call with him.
Yeah, dude, that got said many times on set. And that Ellen DeGeneres skit that he did a couple times now is fucking hilarious. And it's exactly who he is. He's kind of got that comedy bone in him that he doesn't usually get to play. But, and we definitely didn't need on this movie,
no.
But then when you're on set with him, you're like, Dennis Quaid's slightly different to what I imagined. But when we cast him, it was about trying to find someone that touches on that heart, that nostalgia, that like we grew up with him, and I'm sure you're the same, you're a fan.
Yeah.
And we wanted that prior relationship with him and the audience. And as you've seen the movie, I'm sure you can imagine why. You know, he makes an impact on the film, and I think it was really important to us to find an actor that already carried some of that history with the audience.
Going back to your producing team, you've also got Michael B. Jordan as one of the producers as well. Was he shooting Creed 2 around the same time you guys were doing this?
No, he actually just wrapped Creed 2 fairly recently. At the time,
he was doing Black Panther.
Yeah, he was kind of sort of in the middle of Black Panther shooting in Atlanta, so he was back and forth. He was just very supportive from Bagman. He found the short a long time ago when it had just dropped, and he and his brother actually were big fans of it and were saying like they just wished this kind of material with a young black lead was around when they were kids, because
yeah.
It's just something that is lacking in the industry. And it was always important for us to tell a diverse story with a diverse cast and, you know, take a character, an archetype of a character that is generally looked over and is sort of boxed into a certain type of movie. You know, a gang film or a drug film or this or that. And it's really refreshing to see a young black character in a normal film that could be anybody.
And with a hero's journey and with wish fulfillment. I mean, we said it early on, white kids have been finding alien space rifles for years. Like, it's the black kids' turn. Like, that's kind of what this was all about from the short film. And I'm glad that we were able to do that in the feature.
Yeah, for sure. Now I'm going to have to wrap up. Kin's going to be coming out soon. I'm really excited and I hope it goes really well. Have you got anything else on the horizon at the moment?
Yeah, man. We plan on being around for a while. So we're developing a bunch of movies at the moment and a television series that's really exciting. What can I say? A bunch of things.
I think the main thing is, we can expand. I mean, this is Josh. I feel like there's a lot of ideas that we have that have come from us, and it'll be really interesting to see how, when Kin comes out, how that influences what we're being offered. Because right now we're not really considering that stuff. It's more about the things we're coming up with on our own.
Yep.
What's really exciting for us as a filmmaking team is just coming up with our own original sort of stories and fleshing them out and then bringing the right team involved at the right time. And so the collaboration between the two of us and a writer, or the two of us and a DP or a production designer or an editor, it's a really fun way of working because it doesn't become about ego and it's not about head to head me versus you. It's about a collective. And so that's always worked really well for us. And expanding out these little nuggets of ideas for movies or TV shows or whatever, and then finding homes for them is certainly something we're doing at the moment. So we're super excited about what's next.
For sure. Well, it seems that twin director teams are taking over the world anyway, so I expect to see bigger things from you guys anyway. Because I've interviewed the Spirits before.
We ran into the Spirit Brothers for the first time at the Upgrade, Lee Whannell's Upgrade premiere in LA. And it was funny. We've obviously been following their work for a long time. And of course they'd never heard of us. So we went up and just introduced ourselves and we're like, hey, another set of Aussie twins, you know, making it in Hollywood. So yeah, it was really good to bring the Aussie twins together for a moment.
For sure. Well, thanks guys. I appreciate it. And good luck with the release.
Hey mate. Of course, man. Thanks for your time. Good to chat with you.
What the hell is that?
I found it.
Somebody's got to be looking for this thing.
That thing your brother has in there? You need to call someone.
Can't do that.
Find him. He's here somewhere.
Dangerous people are coming after us.
I know I'm not a good guy,
but it's been pretty incredible to be brothers for the first time.
Whatever you've gotten him into, he's gonna figure it out eventually. I hope you're ready for that.
They're coming back! Go!
I can't believe this whole time you haven't told me this! Go! Go!
Get away from my brother.
Maybe keep that thing on the first mode, yeah?